today on Real Radio.
It is a violation. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you've never been robbed, you're tempted to take this kind of lightly. Oh, man, get over it. Oh, you know, I robbed somebody once. It was no big deal. You have no idea what you're talking about. There's a violation that is, I believe, put in the human heart by God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Being Right with God, Part 1, continues a new series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. The Old Testament book of Isaiah records the powerful ministry of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah's calling as a prophet was primarily to the nation of Judah and the city of Jerusalem. Isaiah urged the people to repent from their sins and return to God. He also foretold the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and also what will happen in the last days. In Isaiah chapter 4, we find Judah in captivity, but God's covenant with his people is everlasting. So, Isaiah predicts God's coming restoration of the nation of Israel, and Jesus, who Isaiah foretold as the branch of God, was like a tree cut down, but regrew and produced many trees. Likewise, Israel will once again increase into a great nation. We also learned that we were given the ministry of reconciliation, and through God's love we can restore others, knowing that we too can fall away. Now in chapter 5, Isaiah will deliver his message to Israel in a poem that's in the form of a parable. Today on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that stealing is born out of wanting what you don't own. There's also a sense of violation that is put in us when something has been stolen from us. And Isaiah, in his poem, is saying that the wealthy of Israel are guilty of hoarding to the point where there's no space for others to live in the land. And now continuing his lesson called Being Right with God, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Listen, watch this. God is not, he's not putting them down because they've been blessed. He's putting them down because they mismanaged the blessings. You've got something, and I blessed you. I caused your vineyards to flourish. I gave you water. I gave you rain. I gave you the soil. And it exploded in abundance. And what did you do with it? You took your wealth, and instead of helping others and expanding the influence of goodness, like I've been to you, he would say, you took a measuring tape and you marked off 20,000 acres and put a fence around it. And You made no more room for others to live. He's not putting down land ownership. In fact, that's argued in the Bible, God is for land ownership. He's putting down hogging or hoarding it to yourself. Covetousness. You've got all of this space, you've got all of this stuff, and it just sits there, and it's just you and your family, but you have a mansion, and you occupy this land. God is saying, why don't you be more like me? Let's convert that over and get it going. I'm not against you having a mansion. Have people move in with you. Bless other people and the land. Plant some fruit trees. Get some vegetables growing. Make it work. God loves that kind of stuff. He loves to see dirt and put seeds in it, and you've got jalapenos, and he's got oranges and almonds. He loves it. He's going, come on. Listen, we know this. We all know this. There's this thing. Look, you know what? Some time ago, several months ago, Lisa and I went and stayed at a bed and breakfast. Now, I'm not big on that stuff. It's kind of weird if you ask me. Go to somebody's house and stay in their house. Who are they? I don't know. But we went. And it was, only God would do this, right? This is amazing. You know, you show up and it was up in somewhere in the wine country, Paso Robles. Gorgeous, on a big hilltop, oak trees as far as you can see, vineyards as far as you can see. It was a dream. Pull up there, wow, this is amazing. You go up to somebody's house, and it's like there's no evidence. It doesn't say like, hey, welcome, and there's not like, you know. It's just a house. And you're like, is this the right place? I don't know. I don't think so. But you go up there and the guy opens the door. Hi, you must be Mr. Hibbs. And it's kind of weird. And so the guy took us to, it was nice though. There was another house that's away from the other house. And we get up there and you open the doors. And as far as you can see, there's just rolling hills dotted with big oak trees and vineyards rolling like this. You know what I'm talking about? Central or Northern California? Awesome. And the guy was going, yeah, our property line's from here to there and from here to there and from here to there. And it's like, this is amazing. And the cool thing is, of course, God does this. I didn't know. Turns out, the next morning, y'all have breakfast together at their table. And there's two other couples there, so six of us. And then the owners, that's eight of us. And it's like, hello, hi. It's kind of weird. And the owner, his name was Doug, he just said, all right, we're all here. Let's pray. So I'm thinking, okay, is he a Jehovah's Witness, Mormon? What do we got? Oop, not. I mean, this is a good start so far now. Lord Jesus, and she's praying, amen. Hey, all right, what's up? Oh, we go to this something church over here. And well, who are you? Oh, the other couple, we're from Yorba Linda. We go to Yorba Linda Friends Church. And who are you? Oh, we're this other guy and his wife, youth pastors in Atascadero. All Christians at the table. It's amazing. Has nothing to do with the Bible study, though, tonight. Has nothing to do with it. It was the land. It's like, how much land do you need? Now, there are farms that produce food for the world. I get that part. But then God is saying covetousness. He's saying, woe to you. You hoard up stuff so that nobody's got nothing. And in an amazing way of God's economy, he's for free market. That's from the Bible. He's for you making a profit. He's for you hiring other people. He's for that. But in the same token, there's a balance to all of this. It's kind of weird if you're Bill Gates and you book the entire island for your wedding so nobody else can go on vacation because you're getting married. I mean, think that's kind of weird. Who are you? I'm Bill Gates. Think, isn't that weird? That's what he did, you know. That's kind of weird. God is saying, listen, don't, while you're on earth on this time, for this time, don't hoard stuff up to yourself. So he says to Israel, you have abused both people and the land because the wealthy have just spread out themselves to the point where others could not make a living for themselves. And their crops will fail. It's interesting to me how throughout the Bible, God shows his blessings by either crops flourishing or crops failing. And you think about that. It's kind of scary when you think about California's drought. It's pathetic. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17 says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. Think of that for a moment. Just let that settle in. You shall not covet. What is the word covet? It means lust for their house. Oh, come on, honey. Why don't you get a better job so we can have a house like that? We could sell the kids. Striving, got to have that. You're not happy till you have it. I won't be happy till I have that thing. That's covetousness. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Oh, man, look how young she looks. Think of that. Nor his male servant, female servant, nor his ox. Ox is Hebrew for Porsche, I'm sure it is. Nor his donkey, that would be an SUV of some sorts. Nor anything that is your neighbor's. Do you find yourself, oh man, think about that. It may not be anything like that, but it could be something. Could be their grass is greener. I mean, what is that? But the most dangerous form of covetousness is when it's manifested in stealing. Listen, stealing is first born out of covetousness. I was robbed. What, you weren't just robbed? The person had been thinking, I'm going to steal. Why would they think of stealing? Because they covet what other people have. Have you noticed the, I don't want to get too goofy about this, and I know we're out of time, but we'll pick this up next week together. But here's the thing, you guys. Have you noticed, have you ever been robbed? How is something, right now, see, if you've never been robbed, you're thinking, oh, what's the big deal? You just go down to the store and buy another thing, or you call your insurance company. Listen, your insurance company can come and give you a gold-plated version of that rubber one you had. That ain't the point. You know what I'm talking about? If you've been robbed and you're saying, yeah, you got that part, what is the problem? It takes you months, if not ever, to get over it. Why? Because there's a sense of your privacy having been raped. It is a violation. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you've never been robbed, you're tempted to take this kind of lightly. Oh, man, get over it. Oh, you know, I robbed somebody once. It was no big deal. You have no idea what you're talking about. There's a violation that is, I believe, put in the human heart by God. There's a sense of sovereignty that God wants you to have as a human. There's dignity wrapped up in that. Not the thing. You can get a new thing. It's the fact that you're violated. When you look at your neighbor's wife, you are plotting in your mind, if you never do it, you're plotting stealing from him. If you could, you would steal his wife. If nobody was looking, you would steal his ox. Oh, man, that's the best looking ox I've ever seen. You don't just go, I don't know how this happened. Your ox wound up in my backyard. It doesn't happen like that. It starts with covetousness. I want what I don't have. I want what you have. And somehow I'm going to wait, scheme, plan to get it. And God speaks to that. King Ahab, remember him? You know what? That's a guy. You know who I'm talking about? He'd be a fun guy to just knock out or spank. He was such a baby. Yeah. Remember him sniveling? He's crying on his bed. The king. And Jezebel, what's the matter? She actually says, she goes, what's wrong with you? He said, pull your thumb out of your mouth and speak to me. Naboth has a really nice vineyard and I want it. I don't have one like that. She goes, well, you got 50 million acres. I want his. And she goes, well, you're the king, you big wimp. Go take it. So she has him, he has him killed and takes his little vineyard. Covetousness. If nobody was looking, I'd take that. Covetousness. At what point is a person a horse thief? At what point? Come on, this is a test. I heard when he takes it. Oh, thanks it. All right. I'll give it to you. Judges, we'll give it to you. Yeah, when you think it. I think I'm going to steal that guy's horse. You steal a horse because you're already a horse thief. Stealing the horse only proved that you're a horse thief. You stole it because you are a horse thief. Ahab was a thief. Why? Because he coveted. When you covet someone else's stuff, it's the precursor to murder, we know in the Bible. When you covet somebody else's stuff, it's a precursor to stealing. When you covet somebody else's stuff, it's a precursor to destroying that other person. And God says, Israel, you've done this to the point where there's no more place for anybody to pitch a tent or to live their lives or to build their homes. And I love the fact, we'll have to end here before we get into the second woe, but I love the fact that God is saying, there should be a place, notice here, there should be a place where you can go, where any man can go and be alone. I think that's kind of cool. God says right here, you have so hoarded things up, there's no place for anybody to get away. You ever feel like that in life? To get away. I'm not talking about booking a flight or a vacation or a hotel. That's confirmation. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you getting alone with God. The beautiful thing is, God says here, there's no room for a person to retreat and find themselves with me again. Now, I know the way we do things like this, it's okay, I guess, but we have a retreat and 300 men go up the mountain. Or we have a retreat and 300 women go down to the whatever. And that's okay. But have you ever gotten along with God? You say, there's no room. I live in an apartment complex. Find a park. Climb a tree. Get alone with him. You guys, we've been brought up, we've been raised in our culture that being alone is some sort of an embarrassment. Isn't that sad? I think that's just like bad. Well, look, that guy's over there, he's eating alone. The guy may be having the time of his life. Oh, how sad. That person's sitting there at the beach all by himself. Listen, that could be awesome. God says, get alone. We need to nurture that more. We need to practice this. Get alone. And you know what that means, right? It means leave your personal electronic device somewhere else. We need to fast from these pieces of junk. Little piece of garbage runs your life. Isn't it weird? Think about it. Yeah, come on, yay! Someone's going, wait, what? Can you say that? Wait, let me Instagram that one. God wants us to get alone with him. You can close your Bibles. I want to make this confession / encouragement to you. I love getting away. It's the way I'm wired. Some people get all stressed when they go away. I can't take it. I need to get away. I need to get away from everything that is always around me. Are you with me? The phones or it's like, oh, that's the upside. Yes. And you see things and you're reinvigorated. I know Charles Spurgeon was a big fan of that also. And I so relate to that. I need that from time to time. The downside is when you go like that, you break your routine. Routine in some ways very good. Routine for me is good disciplines. Getting up at a certain time, doing these things before anybody's awake, you know, being ready, and then the day happens, and don't you feel invincible when you beat the sun up? You've been in the Word, you prayed, you sat there, you had your coffee or your protein shake with God, and it's like, yes, Lord, and it's still dark outside. And you're like, okay, I think the Lord, I wrote this down, I think he was telling me this, and okay, all right. And then now you're waiting, it's like the day, it's like, come on, sunshine. Come on, day, I'm ready. You know that feeling? I love it. You get out of bed late and it's like you're a victim all day long. Right? Come on, it's true, it's like, oh no. But this last week, I took advantage of the opportunity that Charlie Campbell was here and Dr. Lennox was here, and so Lisa and I just relaxed. And the tough part about that is, it's like, Lord, I'm tired. I'm sleeping in. And I get you because we're taking a break. And the funny thing is, you just don't feel the same. And the moment you get back into the flow, you find something, you find someone gloriously waiting. You pry yourself out of bed, or you make your way to that location, or you climb that tree, or whatever it is, and it's Lord, here I am. And he doesn't say, where have you been? Do you know how long I've been waiting here while you've been taking a break? No, it's amazing. He is ever now. And he's, all right. What are we going to talk about, Jack? Talk to me. What's up? Isn't he amazing? Yes. He's so good. I hope you know him. He's always waiting. He's always so, so good. Father, we thank you for your love for us. It's tough, no doubt about it. This chapter, Israel, you're going to tell them what's coming. All because they refused you, rejected you, they wouldn't listen, they threw you off and would have nothing to do with you. So tough days will come to them. In Isaiah's day, tough days did come. Tough days come to any one of us when we refuse you. So Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that we would not do that. That even right now, if there's a man or a woman, a boy or a girl here tonight that's they can't say that they know what it's like to be near you. That they would just make that decision right now to say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want you to take control of my life. I want you to lead me, guide me, own me. Why? Because Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He rose again from the grave. And it's in him you want to put your trust in tonight. Father, forgive us of our covetousness. From shoes to boats to planes to houses to a ring to a car. It doesn't matter. Forgive us. May we find our satisfaction alone in you. And may we express that satisfaction now in our song of love to you. Our poem, as it were, to you now. Church, let's stand and let's give him from our hearts this affection.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Being Right with God, Part 1. Thanks for listening, and there is satisfaction in being satisfied with what God has already provided. Being Right with God, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. A series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah and the foretelling of the coming of the Messiah, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Have you had a chance to check out Pastor Jack's YouTube channel yet? It's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs, and there are literally hundreds of videos to choose from, along with a variety of topics that are available. But what I'd like to draw your attention to at this moment is a specific series called Engage the Culture. Each episode starts with a sort of what does the Bible say about, and then a specific topic will be explored, such as what does the Bible say about marijuana and drug use, or what does the Bible say about socialism? Other cultural topics include feminism, transgenderism, racism, as well as what does the Bible say about gun control, border control, and abortion. Again, a lot of topics to choose from, lots of questions will be answered, and a whole lot of information on how to share salvation through Jesus Christ in a world that has a lot of very different cultural and spiritual views on life. And don't forget to hit that notification tab for all the latest videos that Pastor Jack wants to share with you. And if you've got any questions for us, or maybe you'd like to know more about what Pastor Jack has to offer, you can also head over to our website that's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Did you know that Pastor Jack is very much active on social media? So, if you'd like a free and convenient way to help support this ministry, or if you're just interested in what Pastor Jack has to say on current events, be sure to check out his Facebook page, Instagram, and subscribe to his YouTube channel. For more Pastor Jack and to help support this ministry, follow Pastor Jack on social media. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.